Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
Last week, we talked about how Coach Lasso and the disciples were similar in that they were outcasts, had a tenacity for kindness, love, and grace, and that they were learners. Today, we're going to expand on the aspect of learning by addressing one of the most important parts of faith, curiosity. So what makes curiosity so important to our faith? Well, firstly, we have to talk about what faith is. For now, our basic working definition of faith is the belief in things not seen. While most of us usually think in terms of faith versus doubt, I want to push a little here and say that doubt is an inherent part of faith. It's a feature, not a bug. To use a classic example, I'm standing on a high platform, and I can't see the bottom, but I'm told that when I jump, there's a net at the bottom that will catch me, and I will be safe. Since I can't see the net, I'm forced to trust, or have faith, that it is there. Now, on our hypothetical platform, we can search for all the clues we want, saying, do you see how the light kind of shines differently in some areas? That means there's a net. But we can never truly see the net, and therefore, doubt is bound to happen because we can never be sure. Therefore, doubt is not the opposite of faith. In fact, faith is meant to bridge the gap between doubt and belief. The opposite of faith is certainty. When we are certain about things, I don't have to have faith. For instance, if I'm certain that the leftovers in my fridge are still good to eat, even though they may have been in there a few days, I don't have to worry about getting sick. But if the leftovers have been in there for longer, maybe over a week, I'm gonna do the smell test. And if I'm still unsure, I might dip my finger in to do the taste test. And then I'm left with a choice. I have to trust or have faith in my judgment and proceed to eat the food or not. To help illustrate this point, we're gonna look at a couple of stories in Scripture. So let's start with the story of Job. Poor Job. This guy has absolutely everything going right for him in his life. He's got the farm, the animals, the money, the kids, the wife, the house, the guest house, the guest house. He's celebrating and praising God for all of these great things in his life. But then a divine wager takes it all away. His animals die, his kids die, his houses come down, his fields destroy, his money gone. In fact, the only thing that he's left with is his health and wife. But soon, even those will eventually be gone. Now, his friends come to sit with him to console him through such a rough time, trying to figure out what had happened. What did Job do to make God so angry that he would punish him in this way? Job's friends offer a plethora of reasons for why this must have happened to Job. He must have done something wrong. He must have been unfaithful in some way because God would never do this to someone who is faithful. And this is where we see certainty as the opposite of faith. His friends were certain that God punished Job for some secret type of sin. I mean, what great friends, right? You lose everything around you and they blame you for it. And even after Job protests and says he didn't do anything wrong, they chastise him for saying that he hasn't done anything because obviously he did. And in Job's final defense, he declares that the Lord should answer his cries and validate his righteousness. All of them were certain that they understood how God works. And they were certain that they understood the reason behind these events. But by the end of the story, Job and his friends learn that this is not the case because God absolutely bashes them over the head. We'll start in Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? And who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? It continues like this for a while, with God just asking question after question, highlighting that Job cannot contend with God. It continues into chapter 40. That's right, two full chapters of these types of questions. But now God challenges Job. And the Lord said to Job, "Shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? Anyone who argues with God must respond." Then Job answered, saying, "See, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer. Twice, but will proceed no further." Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, "Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you declare to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me so that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God, and can you thunder with a voice like God? Deck yourself with majesty and dignity. Clothe yourself with glory and splendor. Pour out the overflowings of your anger and look on all who are proud and humble them. Look on all who are proud and bring them low. Tread down the wicked where they stand. Hide them all in the dust together. Bind their faces in the world below. Then I will also acknowledge to you that your own right hand can give you victory." Oof. And finally, after more berating, Job finally gives up and says in chapter 42, that's right, another two full chapters of berating, which is absolutely brutal. He says this, "Job answered to the Lord, 'I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. For the Lord asked, who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me that I did not know. For the Lord said, hear and I will speak. I will question you and you declare to me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.'" Everyone just got their butts handed to them by God because they were certain they understood how God works. They quickly learned that this is not the case, and thus Job has to eat his humble pie. And remember that no one can be certain about the Almighty because God is too big, too mysterious, too wonderful for any person to fully comprehend. And God will continue to work in ways that we can't be certain of because as soon as we're certain, God seems to do something different. Let's take a look at a story in Mark 3 that shows this. It says, "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' And he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? How he entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat? And he even gave some to his companions.' Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue and a man was there who had a withered hand. They were watching him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save a life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." You see, the Pharisees were certain they fully understood the Sabbath and more broadly the Torah and as seen through the protest of the disciples picking the grain. Jesus retorts with the story about David, but he pushes this idea further by challenging them with this healing. When pressed about the lawfulness of healing on the Sabbath, the Pharisees sat there, silent. And Jesus wasn't mad because they slightly misunderstood something. He was mad that their certainty about God's law would prevent a miracle, would prevent life and love be given to this person in need. The Pharisees are missing out on the point here because they clung to their understanding of what the law is. But if the Pharisees were curious in this moment, asked questions instead of casting accusations, how would this interaction have changed? If they remained curious, how would life have been brought into this scene? Instead, they used the law to nail down everyone around them instead of treating the law as a tool of love and grace. Just as others still to this day use scripture, use God as a weapon of cruelty, oppression, and hate instead of a tool of love and liberation and life as it should be. All because they are certain they fully understand. This is what happens when we don't stay curious. When we're certain we know the truth, nothing else can be true. Let's see what Coach Lasso has to say about staying curious.
Mate, what do I need to win?
2 triple 20s and a bullseye.
Good luck.
You know, Rupert, guys have underestimated me my entire life. And for years, I never understood why. It used to really bother me. But then one day, I was driving my little boy to school, and I saw this quote by Walt Whitman. It was painted on the wall there. It said, "Be curious, not judgmental." And I like that. So I get back in my car, and I'm driving to work. And all of a sudden, it hits me. All them fellas that used to belittle me, not a single one of them were curious. You know, they thought they had everything all figured out, and so they judged everything, and they judged everyone. And I realized that they're underestimating me. Who I was had nothing to do with it. Because if they were curious, they would ask questions. You know? Questions like, "Have you played a lot of darts, Ted?" Which I would have answered, "Yes, sir." Every Sunday afternoon at a sports bar with my father from age 10 till I was 16 when he passed away. Barbecue sauce.
When we stay curious, we invite opportunities. When we remain curious, we allow ourselves not to be the end-all, be-all for the universe's greatest questions. But when we're not curious, we become something that we're not supposed to be. We become like the Pharisees who would accuse others of not understanding the same way they do and then condemn those around them. Let me share a little bit about my story. Growing up, I loved church, loved reading scripture, loved God fiercely. And as I entered my teenage years, and as my calling was developing, I had more and more questions, so I went running for answers. And I found all the answers I could. I mean, it got to the point where I could tell you exactly what wasn't a sin and what was. I knew it. I knew how God worked. I knew what every line of scripture meant. And it came to a point when I stopped asking questions because I had all the answers. I stopped being curious. And my faith turned from a tool to a weapon. I sat in judgment of all, criticizing those around me fiercely because they didn't understand scripture, or because they can't live like that and still be a Christian, or because God didn't work like that. Because of my certainty, I became a source for pain and discomfort for those around me instead of being the light and life that God calls us all to be. Eventually, I went to college for biblical studies, not to learn, but to affirm that I already knew all the things there is to know about God and Scripture. Except, after my first week of classes, I started to read more and get more information, and slowly the questions started to creep back in, and they started to crack at my foundation. Until eventually, I was left drifting in the dark space of existential dread, searching for something solid to build my faith on. And if I was going to survive, I had to become curious again. And I searched and I searched for an answer. And as soon as I thought I had it nailed down, something else would come up and dash it away. That was until I found the rock that would be my foundation. And that rock was Jesus. And on that rock was inscribed, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And since then, I've remained curious. I've interacted with so many different believers, some that I disagree with so much on. But I know that I don't know all the answers. And the only thing I can do is stay curious and stay founded on Jesus and his teachings and call others to do the same. Because what happens? What do we miss out on when we don't stay curious? Well, I tell you, in those years where I had it all figured out, I missed so many opportunities to love those around me. I hurt people, damaged people, because I was certain I had it figured out. And because I knew how God worked, I missed God at work. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we can come together in this moment to remain curious, to explore the ways in which we're certain, so that we may grow closer to you, but also so that we can see you at work, so that we don't grow like the Pharisees who were certain and then condemn those around us because they have it wrong. I pray that as we continue down this path, that you stretch us, that we may grow into the life that you want us to lead, and that we can encourage others to do the same. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.